Hello and welcome to the Ascension Show. I'm Kathleen O'Toole. We have landed on season 3 and we are just thrilled to be here. Let's celebrate that a moment, right guys?
Yes.
Yeah. Yay. Okay, the team that's back for more fun this season. First off, we have our integrative adult and child psychiatrist. She's a paradigm progression pioneer, a podcaster, as well as the Ascension Media founder. She's Dr. Denise McDermott. Hi, Dr. Denise.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Yay.
Next up, we have Ascension Media co-founder. She's a practicing spiritual intuitive, as well as a law enforcement profiler. She's our Jennifer Schaefer.
Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
Next up, we have our integrative adult and child psychiatrist, nutritionist, wellness retreat guru, our Dr. Andrea Best. Hi, Dr. Best.
Hi, Dr. Best.
Hi.
And finally, beefing up our team, our prose writer who holds her master's in spiritual psychology and consciousness. She's a champion for children, Beverly Bergman.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we have a lot of fun and interesting stuff planned for the show today. Forget your smartphone. You have an inner GPS, how to know what it's telling you to do at all times. We're going to help you. Plus, the doctors are in. They'll be reflecting on the unseen energy they encounter and what it means to all of us. And we are going to dive deep into our neurostyle and beyond. In fact, our show today is called Embrace You, Your Neurostyle and Beyond. And we're gonna start, Dr. Best, take it away. Neurostyle.
Season 3, how exciting, right? So our viewers, our listeners from seasons 1 and 2, they've given us such great feedback. It's so exciting because they get it. You know, people see the purpose here, the collective purpose, and they see the fun. And now we get to go deeper and really expand on some of the language, the words that we've been using. And how interesting that, Jen, you're in the office where I first heard the word neurostyle. Dr. Denise was sitting right there. I was sitting across the room and she used a word and I said, hold it, what? In the same way, like my style is to, I'm very curious. I'm always, you know, seeking to learn and to share. So when I hear new things, particularly new language that really encapsulates something so well, I get really excited. And that's what happened that day. I was probably sort of dancing around that chair as we really expanded on it and talked about our purpose and moving more so in that purpose and being a part of the expansion that's going on in the world right now. So we have our collective why, and people who have seen us on seasons 1 and 2, they get the why, but we are not all the same. You know, we have our individual whys and we have our individual styles of ways of processing information and being. So I'm going to pass it to Dr. Denise, who coined the word neurostyle, to expand on it for us.
Well, first of all, you guys know gratitude's my secret sauce. So thank you all for being here and holding the sacred space. And thank you to our viewers. And we're excited in the future to have more live participants. That's one of our goals. So we feel the energy of you because we know time doesn't exist. So you can send us love and we're sending you love. So neurostyle. So everyone, as a doctor, I've always am interested in how can we have new words, thoughts, or ideas that keep us in the most open, aware, and in the moment of now. So in the middle of the night, probably 6 years ago, I was trying to figure out how can we change the way we think, talk, and act about mental health, our inner world, and all of our different levels of awareness. I'm going to give you a little backstory. Jen and I met in 2011, and when we met and I held her card, One Beautiful Chaos, I got lightning bolt chills, and I thought, we are going to work together someday.
Yeah.
Then I put her card in my office in Redondo. I sat it there, and every time I held it, I got chills. So then I got this inner knowing, I better call her. And as I met Jen, and just knowing who she knows, and on the process of Jen's practicing as an intuitive, I wanted to be intellectually curious. I didn't want to, as a doctor, not be open to all ways that we process and perceive things. So the word neurostyle is defined as we all process and perceive things in our own unique way. I'll say it again. We all process and perceive things in our own unique way. And that's not just for human beings. When I coined that, my intention was for all sentient beings. And I believe the beyond is that we're in this universe, but there's multiverses. So again, we all process and perceive things in our own unique way. That's abundant. And the word neurostyle is something as a bridge term. As a doctor, we've got neurodiversity, neurotypical. And it's very important that I stay grounded in science, scientific method, while having fun. So neurostyle is also fun. It's a fun word. It doesn't sound like you're being like, you're neurotypical. Da, 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 da. So words are so powerful when we say them, everyone. And it keeps us in an open and aware place. In the and beyond, this is very important. As I was understanding and being awake to my own intuition, I went on a journey of meeting with different intuitives, going and training in remote viewing, reading quantum physics, looking at Joe Dispenza's, all the luminaries, and collecting data. So again, we all process and perceive things in our own unique ways, all encompassing. So if someone comes to me or Andrea, and they're having mental health challenges, anxiety or depression, but they're accessing other levels of intuitive awareness, which we're going to go deeper dives, the neurostyle word keeps it really fresh. So we can organize all different levels of awareness and be open-minded and non-judgmental. So there we go. And I thank you guys for being universe geeks, for being just as excited. Our group gets super excited about words. They're like little prayers, little intentions. Like, I get so excited. So thank you also for being on the journey of excitement with us and like playing and curious, and also encouraging you to come up with your own fun words or ideas too, because we're all connected. Mm-hmm.
Dorkalicious was the word this morning.
Yeah, tell us about Dorkalicious. I love that.
A dear friend of mine, I had a couple of friends over, and I got them these little stuffed little dragons that are super cute. I love dragons, so I just assume that everybody else is going to love them. And you actually know one of them, Deb Pudding, and one of her friends. And she just looked at me. She's like, oh, how cute. How sweet. She's like, you're Dorkalicious. And I'm like, oh, I wear that as a badge of honor. I want a sweatshirt made out of that, you know, a hat made out of that. I mean, it's just so funny. We all are in our own ways. I guess that's part of my neurostyle.
Well, I love that you just said Dorkalicious, because that's a great segue into the next segment about embracing our neurostyle and beyond. Mm-hmm. And the beyond part's the unseen energy, like the vibe. Are you feeling playful? Are you feeling grateful? What are your feelings? And the more we stay in that place of gratitude and play, the more open we are to all the different levels of awareness. So we were going to have some fun, because we know like neurostyle is sort of this dun, 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 dun word, but we thought this segment could be about neurostyle and beyond, and some unseen energy stories, things that we've shared with family and friends. And I like it when we just go around the boxes and go like, tag, you're it. Okay, so Beverly, I'm going to go with Bev first.
Oh, it's great. It's like, yes, I love Dorkalicious. And actually what comes in, because we really are just loving geeks about words. I mean, you can use the vernacular there. We really love them. And I love the Dorkalicious because it's DD for Denise McDermott, as far as the D there. Love that. Love that. And also the dragon. Because Leaf, my grandson, coined me as an inner dragon. And I have some designs here in wood outside where you guys have walked that really have these protection. They're like on the outskirts, protection of the dragon energy here. So the next time you're over, you need to look for, because there are a few little things that are even around the house inside that are dragon protective. But talking about just the joy and the frivolity that is the neuro style, when we were planning on doing this segment today, and we all just love the neuro style and we shared it, and it's so meaningful. It is for me because it allows me to really deliciously embrace the whimsy in me, right? I'm in the black and white today, and I really like that essence of holding that structure of corporate image in black and white. But the other extreme, as you all know, is that you never know what's going to come out of my mouth or what I might be doing. So actually, right, actually, when with the neuro styles, like I had an immediate download when I knew that we would be doing this. And it was at the time, Dr. Denise, when you were doing your own podcast in the moment, just like what, a week ago with neuro style. And this jingle came out that I'll share with you later, but it was so infectious. It was so joyful because I could also see it being used in kindergarten and primary schools for our youth to retain and know that they are just dork delicious.
Mind if I jump in and play it?
Yeah.
Yes. Spontaneously?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh wait. That wasn't well done. Hold on.
So this, it was so much fun.
So Bev, I want to give people a little bit of backstory from like the scientific geeky method. Yeah. So everyone, Kathleen, myself, and Kirk are planning on doing, you know, really launching this book and this term in multiple ways. We are planning the book, Embrace Your Neurostyle and How to Take the Shame Out of Things. And I asked Bev, my neurostyle calls upon prayer from a distance. Because when we're about to embark on something, we can call a friend. I've actually texted all of you when I had tough times asking you to pray. So we can all do that for one another. So when Bev didn't even know this is how our energy feels. These are the antidotes of embracing your neurostyle and beyond the unseen energy. Bev had made that video that morning, not knowing I was about to have a meeting with Kathleen and Kirk. Right. And then I sent her the meeting notes to bless the meeting. And when Kathleen, myself, and Kirk were looking at like a book cover, we thought something like this, like embrace, like self-love. Embracing your neurostyle for all of us about loving ourselves. So how cool is that? Really? Shut the front door. Really? Her video had her hugging herself. So that's an example of what's called super synchronicity, everyone. Gary Schwartz has an amazing book on that, and we'll put the link into that again. When you have coincidences that aren't coincidences, those are the antidotes. When we're in a quantum energy field, and I'd like Jen and Andre to geek out about this too. When we're in synchronicity with certain people, our energy fields, we can think ahead of time because time doesn't exist. It's like right. When you hear something and then you pick up the phone. So does everyone want to just chime in on how fun that is?
Can I talk real fast just about time? Only because a lot of our viewers might not understand when we say time does not exist. The way that I have learned about time is the fact that past, present, future shows up in the same place for me. So I have to figure out what it is, whether it's the past with somebody, whether it's future with somebody. It really does not exist in the other dimensions. It's man-made. It's here for us. But I just wanted to share that in case some of our viewers didn't know.
So I love that, because when we say we all process and perceive things in our own unique way, that actually, I'm going to give a really precise example. It's going to tie in with the other segments. I know we're going to go all over, so we're not going to follow the segments. This is also how we are, because we're so geeky. So Jen, when you just said that, Monday, I had to do a deep dive into something that happened 3 years ago, and I'm an empath. So the Embrace Your Neurostyle and Beyond also not only includes biological, psychological, social, cultural, and spiritual, but when you're an empath, you can tag off of people's energy fields easier. So it's not just the neurotransmitters. So when you're saying time doesn't exist, you can have an event that reminds you, like a soul or a trauma trigger, and you can go back in time and feel all the feelings of that. So I just want to remind everyone, I want to thank all of you on the screen, because Monday I cleared my patient's schedule to deal with something, and I went back into it like Xena, but I could feel all the feelings, and I was doing protective things. So maybe we can share some more if you want to comment on that, that if we can access, like Jen was saying, time's man-made, there's going to be times when you have feelings that remind you of other times in your life.
And we tend to really feel the ones that shook us the most. We've all had grief. So with my dad, there's days where it feels like it happened yesterday. And that's where time does not exist.
Right.
But what I have encouraged my clients, and I've encouraged my friends and my loved ones to do, is pick things that you loved in your past. We forget. We don't really pick the things that were happy and joyous and kind, and our loved ones and our friends. And it goes to gratitude. And I know, Denise, you're a pro at that. Gratitude brings it back, because you can, but if you take those memories that you had so much fun, if you can really just try to focus on that, you get the same effects as if you had, if you pick something bad. You can choose it if you can. You could try.
And also remember that not all of the memories are true. There's certain ideas and memories and things and perceptions that we had as children that we viewed, and we came up with those ideas with that child mind. So an expression that a parent might have had, and then your perception was that, oh, this person doesn't love me. But later, looking back, oh, my parent was tired, or my dad was tired, or they were experiencing this out there, in the community, so that it's so important to just remember. There, in my mind, there's a mantra that I'll sometimes say, or a few of them. I'll say, okay, I don't do that anymore. I don't think that way anymore. This is the newer, more conscious, aware, wake me. I'm not a slave to the pictures. And the pictures are all of those memories that are not real. So there are all of these pictures that go into these memory banks. Boom, boom, boom. But it was based on a child's perception of the world, and a sleep child, a child who had not woken and remembered that the child that we came to this world all knowing, but went unconscious.
I love that.
So
so empowering for people as adults. Well, I'm going to move us along, if you don't mind. The in our pre-show meeting, we were talking about NeuroStyle and the unique role that psychiatrists have as the provider of mental wellness that permeates beyond, you know, the blood test, beyond, it permeates beyond the seen energy. And Andrea and Dr. Denise have such interesting stuff to talk about, sorry for the word stuff, but in terms of what they have to do in their practice that I don't think everybody realizes. So if you don't mind, I'd love to dig into your practices and unseen energy.
So people ask all the time, like, what's it like in a psychiatrist's office? And I'll say that for Dr. Denise and myself, our office is very different. You know, I'm looking at Jen now in Denise's office and your office as well. My office doesn't—
Wait, can I just say something funny though? I don't know many psychiatrists that are also, since 2013, have been sharing an office with a practicing intuitive.
Right.
That's been solving and accessing the other realm. So that in itself is its own fun little unseen energy.
So very different, right? So you made a choice, you know, to move in your own power and gifts and what you came here to do. And so did I. So in that office though, it is a sacred space. And we talk about this. We are intentional in creating a sacred space before we go into our office, when we're in our offices, before our patients come in, now before we go into a Zoom. And the beyond, there's so much not seen there, okay? We're trained in the DSM, but the DSM, which has all of the diagnoses, all the psychiatric diagnoses and codes, it's man-made. It's based on man theory, okay? So we know that that's not the be-all and end-all. We know it's not 100% sensitive, and we know it's not 100% specific. So we go in with humility and vulnerability so that we are able to tap in to all-knowing power, to universal consciousness, to the collective consciousness. And it is in that humble space, you come with the scientific training, you recognize that that is not all, that is man, okay? And what man has been able to access, and it's great, and it's an invaluable tool. And yes, it standardizes things, but to be able to tap into the unknown in there, where we can't order blood tests or scan. You know, if someone comes in with the ear infection, okay, I can look in the ear, I can see, okay, it looks, it's bulging, it's red. I can order a test, I can swab, and I can know exactly what bacteria it is and get a culture and sensitivity test that tells me exactly what antibiotic to use to treat it. But for psychiatric conditions, for these other conditions, that's not the case. The gene testing that came out, you know, it's not accurate. It's not 100% sensitive or specific either. But when you tap in, when Denise and I, when we tap in, for me, I can't explain it, but I say the answer always comes. The treatment plan always comes, and it comes from me tapping into it, but not being a blank slate. In that office, I allow my NeuroStyle to come out, which is, you know, definitely, you know, teacher, science, geeky, but also like the Dora Milaje, from Marvel Comics. I'm very, very protective of my patients. And like, we don't use that language. We don't use these words. We don't use shaming or judgmental words. You are not that label, right? So as protective as I am of my children and of my family and my friends, I'm that protective and sacred in that space with my patients.
Denise?
So thank you, Dr. Andrea. I'm so glad that we're reunited. For those just realizing this for the first time, this show, that we've known each other since our UCLA days as child psychiatry trust and training. So what I want to say, though, that you talked, you used the word shame and non-judgment, and then the word sacred space. So the word sacred space is something that's universal. It can happen in our psychiatry office. It can happen in our intuitive office. It can happen at Beverly's home. It can happen in our homes. The sacred space is being in the moment of now. And that unseen energy that we have as doctors when we're in the doctor role and someone comes to see us is the same unseen energy we can have anywhere we go when we create a sacred space. So that infinite awareness is tied in with sacredness, reverence, and love. When you're in the space of self-love, whatever profession you're doing, you're meeting someone at the highest vibrational frequency to be open and aware. So when Dr. Best is talking about tapping in, I often tell people when they talk to me on the phone, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm about to see a psychiatrist. Like from everything you've seen on the movies, there's like all this superstition, like it just like Jen runs across.
Well, it's funny because when people are in the waiting room, what I do, being a dork that I am, dorkalicious, I can feel their pulse. If you just take a second, you can feel their pulse. And I'll open the door and I'll go, boo. And they jump so high. And that's so dorky to do, but it makes it to where they're like, oh, okay. They calm down so much quicker than if I'm like, hello, nice to meet you. You know, anyway.
But that's actually play. So when we're looking at all the different multidimensionals, that's why at NeuroStyle, we all process and perceive things in our unique way. And we're talking about the unseen energy in psychiatrists, but it's also with all of us. When Kathleen was about to interview someone, when Bev is creating a space of love and joy with philanthropy or with her mind. So when Andrea was saying tapping in, when I always like to tell people this, imagine we're all here. We've got our human selves. And then you take a cartoon bubble that comes out of your mouth. And that encompasses everything. Your biological, your psychological, your social, your culture, your spiritual. And then let's go beyond. Let's imagine a coliseum of all of our ancestors from the past and from the future. All the ascended masters, God, Jesus, Buddha, throwing it down. So if you can imagine that you're this amazing individual being, cartoon bubble with all the NeuroStyle and beyond.
Yes.
I'm getting chills. Woo! When I get chills, that means like my form of my higher self's going, yeah. So our beyond is tapping into the real now linear, but the unseen energy of all of our beliefs, thoughts, actions, friends, lovers. So we have to be aware how powerful we are. And so Dr. Best and myself, we've grown in our awareness. I didn't have this awareness when I was at UCLA. So my perceptions of what it is now as it keeps evolving and ascending. So Dr. Andrea and I, as doctors, we love linear geeky science terms. We know you got to come to us and get a diagnosis from the Western way, but we're going to add all the love, all the awareness, the intuition, the empathy to treat you as a whole soul. And we want everyone to feel whole and loved, even dun, 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 when it's all divinely fucked up, perfect or imperfect. So there we go.
And we want to teach you. We want to teach everyone. Like we're here. We're all of us in this collective space. We're teachers. So we're sharing that what we're tapping into, everyone can tap into it. So everyone can tap into it. So it's that self-awareness. And you know, we talk about transference and counter-transference and that feeling state. Okay. So in that office, we are trained to be aware of what's going on unseen. Okay. And the feelings. So what feelings are coming up in me? Okay. What am I feeling? And what is that? Why is that showing up? What is showing up? Okay, am I feeling that because this person reminds me of someone? Okay, this person might be feeling something about me because I remind them of someone. Maybe I shouldn't take this personal. Maybe maybe there's another way for me to look at that. Oh, how am I being? That feeling state, recognizing it's not anything to be afraid of. Our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, that's our GPS. That's our guidance system. It's nothing to be afraid of. We have the tools, and we've talked about the tools, seasons one, seasons two, of how to go up the emotional ladder. So you don't worry about sinking anywhere because you know how to get back up and feel good. But what is this feeling state come here to show me?
Oh. So this is a good transition, what you're talking about, because it's going to be all integrated, because we're doing the psychiatrist unseen and then Jennifer unseen. So Jen, while Andrea and I were talking, can you give us some insight to some of what the unseen energy or the divine was saying? So everyone, my belief system and the belief system in this crew is that we're here in a linear sense, but that our ancestors and guides can give us a little time. When I was doing the bubble thing and going beyond, my whole entire body got lightning bolt chills. So that's an unseen energy antidote that I'd love for Jen to run with and integrate what Andrea and I said.
So first of all, one of the quick hack for everyone is you can sit anywhere or do anything and tell yourself a mantra that says, I am an infinite being. I am infinite. I'm an infinite being. It helps, as you were talking about, you know, past, present, future and going crazy like this, which is amazing. I saw you not only do you do your work, both of you, but you meet your clients where they're at. Mm-hmm. And this is really important, because when you're ascending, not everybody's going to be on the same track. Right. And you don't, my best advice that I can give anybody when they're doing this is you can geek out, you can be super, you know your audience, know your friends, but don't, it's not your job to make anybody believe in anything. Lead by example, just being who you are. So back to what you were saying, like you call on your ancestors. Both of you do. Both of you, is just a natural state, a natural practice to call on your loved ones, right? Sometimes we forget, but sometimes, like when I walked into the office, this office, I felt this big hug, like a huge hug, like this is home, just here at this office. And it gave me so much peace. And like, you could take that anywhere when you're talking about your offices. You guys make them sacred spaces. Whether it's at home or whether it's at an office, you can make a sacred space in your car. Mm-hmm. And I know,
the sacred space is our mind.
Correct, correct. But people want things tangible.
Right.
They can't help it. And so, by making your sacred space, you don't have to sage everything. I tell this to people all the time. You don't have to physically sage. You can do it with your mind in any situation.
You know, it's interesting, because I think, like, when I first began doing more, this more expansive work, I felt like I didn't need something tangible. You know, I would do release ceremonies with, you know, with candles or with the little sheets of paper, or write things on it and then, you know, put it on fire or let it go. Or I had to meditate a certain way, or had to be really quiet. And now I don't need those things. I'm able to meditate walking. I'm able to meditate eating. I'm able to meditate swimming. There are times when I do need to quiet, okay? But I love that I don't need anything outside of me now, but that is from practicing. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about is a practice. You don't just one day, well, I didn't just one day wake up and be here in the space to be able to feel anything and be able to handle it and go up the ladder. I didn't all of a sudden just be able to tap into this. I had to remember, and I had to release a whole lot of stuff and junk and things that didn't serve me in order to be able to do it. So now I just open myself to the light. I open myself to light, whether I, and I say it can come while at any point, while I'm driving, while I'm doing this, while I'm watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Marvel last night, episode 4. Oh my goodness. So it could come anytime. I just have to remember, as you said, Jen, know my audience and know just because I'm geeking out, maybe they don't want to hear it all. Like last night when I went on too much about Falcon and Winter Soldier with my daughter. So break it down.
I see beautiful Beverly there. And I know that we have segments, but they're all integrated and interrelated. And so I feel like I'd like to move to the GPS segment, because no matter what we're doing on time, the GPS, we talked about that when we were pre-planning the show. In fact, I was dealing with an emergency with my son, and I was so wanting to be in this meeting. I had to leave our pre-planning meeting, and I got the word GPS 3 times. So my own awareness and GPS system is when I hear things in 3 times, my own inner knowing, there's different types of sensory awareness. And that's why the word neurostyle is so fantastic, because it allows us to be open to all the awareness. So when I heard GPS, 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 that's a tangible. Let's make this segment very tool related. So GPS is like your GPS system of your car that helps you to guide you to the next destination. Mm-hmm. So we are our own GPS, our own mind, heart, body, and soul, and our neurostyle guides us to however aware we can be in that given moment. So it'd be really fun maybe in this segment, and Bev hasn't had a chance to say a lot, but Bev probably loves the GPS idea, but can we give some tangibles for our clients, our kids, ourselves, of like how we stay in that place of awareness and how we stay in attuned to our emotions to be in the now and not fall back into old programming? Bev, do you want to?
Yeah, I do. And actually, I just like to make a reference to what Dr. Bess was saying, as far as where you have been and what you have been doing, various ways to get to the point where you know now that you can just move right into the space of embracing your inner light, your inner love, wherever that might be, in the car, on a walk, wherever, is that you have done the incremental work of doing that. And it has been inculcated in you, you know, with an understanding. So it becomes intuitive, as you know, intuitive to immediately go to the space of quiet that brings you there. We've all done this. And also it's hard now with GPS, the one thing that immediately comes is to where it is. And I love how Denise, when Dr. Denise comes to the house and there is a pause. There is a pause that's reverent, because the grace of the property here really has this reverence of sacred space. It is a gift. I acknowledge that in the most prayerful way, but our Dr. Denise is the Xena woman, and her chariot stops. The video camera and on the phone comes out. There is the opening of the gate that is photographed, because you are moving into this space. The wild white chariot comes forth. There might even be dance in the moment. I mean, this neural style specialist embraces it in the moment, in the now. Time is timeless. And I do believe she is feeling it right in the moment now, which really does address time is timeless for that. I mean, you feel it.
I wish I had my dancing video.
Maybe, you know, so, that would be wonderful. I don't know if that would be wonderful to
let's share. Actually, I'll, you know, everyone, we're going to put a little bit of my dance. So what Bev's talking about is when I arrive. So when we talk about rituals, we can do it anywhere. When Jen goes boom to her clients and they go, when I enter the gates of Beverly's sacred space, I think of Ted. I think of her beloved husband that's in the other realm when those gates open. And then I usually have really fun music going. Actually, now my new rituals, I get out and I dance And on Sunset Boulevard, usually people honk their horn. So we'll just show a little clip of that. I'll find one and we'll add that. But then I just want to go, so play.
Right.
This is very important. If we want our children to have the highest level of mental health in ourselves, staying in your creative place where you get to the point of love and play, you don't shut down that GPS and intuition at a young age. So maybe we can talk about my biggest dream would be to integrate all of these fun tools in all the preschools in the world and let people think of their colors and they're this and they're that, because then they stay connected to their higher self.
You know, and rituals are so important for little people, right? I mean, they thrive on rituals. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you know, my beloved neighbor passed yesterday. She was 99 years old, and she thrived on the rituals of walking with her walker and all the neighbors who would come and walk with her. Like the so at the other end of the spectrum, the rituals are so important in terms of like kind of nourishing your inner GPS, right? And like rebuilding it. And I think as parents, all of us here of different ages, but as parents, like to not shush that inner GPS, to not shush that gut instinct, you know, like, wait, let's, what do you feel we should do? Because inside they always have the right answer. It's like us grownups who muck it up.
Right. Yeah. Can I mention something? What do you guys do when it comes to intuition with dating?
Ooh, this is fun.
I'm taking it from kids to dating.
I love it. Real. Do you want me to, oh my God. Do you want to go first, Andrea?
What have you ever gone against your intuition, and how has that worked out for you?
Yes. Yes. And I lived to regret it. So right. Like the two major, most painful experiences I've had, both times, intuition, true self, God within me, spirit in me, spirit around me, was very, very clear. And my true self, I trust that now. I trust myself. I went through the phase of saying, oh, I can't trust myself to choose wisely. How did I not see that? And then how did I not see that again? It just showed the same thing showed up in a different package, but it's the same thing. So, but now it is not judging anything out there. I send peace out into the world. I send peace to all men. I send peace to all potentials, right? And I no longer say that I attract anything like that. I recognize if certain things come into my space, it's because they are attracted to the light. I'm not attracting anything unhealthy. I'm not attracting any man a certain type of way. I am the light, and everything in me is what attracts them.
Absolutely.
But I have the discretion. I have the ability now, and I'm going to use all the tools in my faculty to be able to protect and love myself and protect and love those in my space.
I love that. Denise?
All right.
Well, I thought we'd be really tangible. Jen says people like things. So when you're dating at different ages in your life, it's also a form of hunting. And so Jennifer Schaefer has given me permission to do what we're calling R&D on attracting sacred sexuality in my personal life, but also bringing that's something our Ascension team's devoted to. So I'm going to read this straight off of Hinge. I'm looking for an energy connection that is next level. Intellectual, passionate, curious, open, reverent, playful, intuitive, communicative, sacred sexuality, just ask. So mm-hmm. I created this environment when the first time someone looks at my beautiful pictures of my words, they're like curious. So I've already created this open and curious where all these men are like, what's sacred sexuality? And then I'm such a geek. Not only can I flirt with them, but we've done a show on it.
Right.
So like, I feel like I'm educating, flirting, having fun. And so dating also is very intuitive when you're just swiping. If anyone's doing online dating, I'm finding that my best dates are the ones where I meet them at an event where we all have shared interest. The online dating world is like something like going to Vegas. It's like you have to do a million swipes to find a good one. It's like crazy. It's like the crapshoot of like the jackpot or something. I'm not saying anyone that's listening, I haven't met a good person on online dating. I actually married my second husband from online dating, and that worked out overall pretty well.
I think online dating, I think if you look at the whole process, if you look at dating like you look at, if you put fun into it, if you see it as a fun thing, there's no pressure, there's no, you know, you don't have to force anything. I'm not trying to get anything. I'm not trying to get anything from you. And the man is not trying to get anything from me, but we're just, you know, connecting in a spicy, fun space, and you're able to be all the parts of you. And I'm able to be all the parts of me. The problem is when a man shows up. First of all, when they show up and you can tell they haven't read your profile, they just have been looking at the pictures. You're like, okay, clearly.
Oh.
No. Or if they show up and the man who is the intellectual, and he just wants the intellectual Andrea. Well, that's not going to work because we're going to be, you know, like colleagues, and that's going to be boring. Or the guy who shows up and he just wants, you know, to... he wants to pal, great friend, Andrea. Well, that's not gonna work because we're gonna be like friends. Or you have the guy who just looks at the pictures and he's like, I just wanna put hands on all of that. And you're like, well, that's not gonna work because, you know, unless you also stimulate this, you know, and you have the package as well, it's not gonna work.
Like you missed the hunting season, I'm sorry. You have to wait.
So because I'm such a geek and we're talking about Embrace Your Neurostyle and beyond, and this season 3, which I'm so glad Jen brought up dating, we're going to be covering these ideas, but we're going to be talking about parenting, children, and also sacred sexuality, and age is just a number. And so in a really playful way, you guys, I thought you can't be a fraud, Denise. If you literally are going to be talking about sacred sexuality and age is just a number, not only with your clients and then living it yourself, on Hinge, they had this one little section. I had my age range, which was in my age for a bit. Mm-hmm. And then it said, is that a deal breaker? And I'm like, oh, I better put no, because if I'm saying age is just a number. So that's like, and then Jen Schaefer's like, keep the data, Denise. So I did. So boy, oh boy, you can turn into like cougar of the month quickly if you put age is not a deal breaker. So, but then I have to tell you, I've gone on dates with all different ages. This relates to neurostyle and beyond.
Research and data. If you look at dating as research and data, it takes away the, like you said, if you feel like you have to get something or want something.
Can I just interject that Denise was telling me about a date that she had recently, and she's like, well, it's all R&D. And I go, oh, okay, but Denise, can you just enjoy the date and, you know, stop with this date as my boyfriend and just go out and enjoy?
Well, trust me, I know how to do that too.
Yeah.
In fact, I have to be honest with you. I didn't learn I was a Lamborghini, my neurostyle of dating. This has to do with sacredness and love. I found out my love of myself, my love of my sexuality, and my true self in a very loving, reverent marriage. And so I found out at age 39, my physical body was a Lamborghini because my mind healed. Some of us have traumas, childhood traumas. There can be religion, there can be judgment on body positivity, gender, sexuality, race. We covered these and we're doing deeper dives. And so I think when we're having our own sacredness, Jen said it so beautifully, is that you can't have sacred sexuality if you don't love yourself, right? So Jen,
all the parts of self.
Yes. And when you're playful, then you're having so much fun. And then that's that, when individuals thrive, we all thrive. So when we're talking about happiness and we're talking about this, we're all having the earth experience as human beings. So we can talk about the unseen energy, but Jen, I love the way Jen always brings it back. Cause Jen, maybe we can just really honor Jen's world. When people come to see her, she's accessing other realms all the time. So she also is an expert at putting people at ease with going boo, but also her one-liners are so fucking smart, Jen. Don't you feel like you have to when you're accessing the other levels of awareness?
When I'm accessing other levels of awareness, and there's your loved ones on the other side are always coming through trying to express, like, tell her to stop it. Tell her to get rid of that guy. Tell her that there's something better around the corner. But I'm not going to say that to the person in front of me. Instead, I'm going to give them evidence of why they should get rid of the guy. I don't tell people to get divorces. The only time I've ever said for someone to move away from someone is when I thought they were physically in danger. But other than that, I give them evidence that they just need. And a lot of times, just like I said before, if you love yourself so much, then your whole life is a big surprise. Because you go with the flow. It just becomes a surprise.
Yeah.
And it's so fun. I want surprises and I'm supposed to know everything. And I am always wanting surprises. So, you know.
Actually, there's a word that I have for that. And I love the hat.
I had to put it on because this is like a surprise. So like yes. In the moment when she was saying it, I felt like I wanted to be playful. And then right. There's somebody that wants to be a geek. So I'm like, okay, you guys, if this is the first time anyone's watching this show and we didn't go, okay, your GPS, you have to have good nutrition, regular fitness, great sleep, altruism, the top five people you hang out with influence your DNA, your epigenetics influences us. So I have to do the doctor thing because we didn't do that. So I just quickly threw that down. But what do I want to do? I want to play because when I'm playing, I'm happy.
Yeah. And you're also honoring yourself, your inner self, and you're loving yourself. I mean, that is like the first step in really being self-nurturing and self-loving. And the word that I came to my mind when Jen was speaking is nebulous. It's like nebulous. I love that word also from a standpoint of emotional ascension. Because when we are ascending, we are moving into territory we have never been in before. It feels very uncomfortable, right? And it is nebulous. We are growing at that point. Yes. And then in the realization of that, and when you have the aha, which also applies to what you were talking about earlier, Dr. Best, and in just your progression and the increment where you can now immediately move into the now of love and light for yourself and healing. But that has been learned. And as we do, that is that uncomfortable, nebulous feeling that I must say for me becomes addictive because I know it's a space I can trust. Mm. And insight comes and it is fucking dork delicious.
All right, Dr. Denise, yep, take it away and tease. Wait. Season 3.
Hold on. I want to just before we say that, I want to balance things out because our incredible producer, Kat, who's helping us, asked a very profound question in one of the shows. And she asked, well, how do people that maybe aren't as trained as all of you do this? Mm-hmm. So I want to have some humility. Mm-hmm. You know, on Monday, I went through something that was a crisis for me. You know, you might see me playing, putting on the hat. But remember, you guys, all of us have deep feelings. And if we've had any loss during this pandemic, loss of betrayal, stealing, divorce, infertility, someone getting diagnosis, you're also human. And there's going to be days where you don't feel like you're ascending. You feel like you're just surviving that day. And then you have to then work yourself up that emotional ladder. So I want to be really humble. That this isn't just easy work, that we all on the screens go through times when we want to cry or we're doing our bubble baths and we reach out to each other. So I want to be really humble about that because I love being playful, but there's times when Earth is just a very tough place to be.
And another thing, just real fast, reach out to get out of your head, make a phone call. And if you, and I've always asked my friends, I'm like, listen, do you, you know, from the beginning of a conversation, do you want me to help you or do you want me to listen?
Yeah.
Or both. Because not everybody that wants to complain or say, they don't want to be fixed. Like I've had, I tell my husband that, I'm like, I want you to listen and not fall asleep. It's a little simple, something simple. I don't want you to fix me. I don't want your, and that's all I need to say. And it makes it to where there's no fights. It makes it to where you get out of your head. Reach out. That's the best thing you can do, because we're all, even with texting doesn't work. Get a voice on the phone. Texting works, but try to get a voice on the phone.
And if you don't, there's one profound statement, Andrea, you were so kind. You left me the most loving voice message on Monday, and Jen and I spoke as well. Can you talk about the help is on a way quote that you like love to use?
Oh yeah. So I have different mantras and things that I've just have used over the years, and they help me through the toughest times. And that help is on the way. That's from Abraham Hicks. I start though with, I am loved. I am loving. I'm love inside. I'm worthy. I'm valuable. I was born that way. There's nothing I have to do to prove it. And then I go to, it's okay. Help is on the way. It's okay. Help is on the way. It's okay. Help is on the way. And that help may come from spirit comforting me and my feeling that. It may come from a phone call. Someone calls me. A text comes up from someone that's very loving and kind. Or an idea comes to, oh, go take a run. Or you haven't eaten, go get something to eat. Bring your blood sugar up. Or, oh, go put on some Dave Chappelle. Laugh. Or, oh, go do this. Or, oh, go do that. So it's that, it's okay. Help is on the way. And it just sort of clicks and reminds me, I'm never alone. I may feel it, but I'm never alone. That's the big lie, that we are separate from that power that created all of this, and that is all knowing, all powerful in everything. That energy is in us, it is us, it connects us, we are connected to it. There is nothing we could ever do, ever, 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 that separates us from it. So, all I have to do is just know it's okay. Help is on the way. I'm loved. It's okay. Help is on the way.
That's beautiful.
So, Kathleen wants us to tease ahead and talk about what's in store, but I think the most gratifying part of all this is that we want to give tools for all of you, and also to be vulnerable and transparent. So one of our goals for season 3 is to do deeper dives on these topics and give more tools like we're doing. And what we have in store are broad strokes on more deeper dives on love, sacred sexuality, age is just a number. And next week we're going to go and talk about shame. Because so much of being able to love ourselves is to kind of get out of the way of shame. So I thank all of you, and I love that. It's okay, help is on the way. We should make a song and do like, right? Go ahead, Kat.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys. Embrace your neurostyle. We love you.